you know, what did I do when I started my business? It was a three-step marketing solution I had. And one was consultation, the second production, and the third distribution.
Welcome to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, Ireland's top-rated Shopify experts. Milk Bottle Labs build, upgrade, migrate, and market Shopify and Shopify Plus stores all over the world. Milk Bottle will migrate you onto Shopify with zero interruption, guaranteed, or optimize your Shopify store and maximize store sales. This podcast is kindly supported by our favorite Shopify app and the only app we install in every store. Rewind.io is the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. We'll talk more about Rewind later. Now over to your host, founder of Milk Bottle Labs, Keith Matthews.
Hi folks, welcome back. My guest today is Aidan Geraghty. Aidan runs Video Tree Marketing, which is a Dublin-based agency focusing on video production, photography and video training. Myself and Aidan have worked and collaborated on a number of projects over the past couple of years, and I've always been impressed by his knowledge and his dedication to his craft. As we try and navigate out of COVID-19 and live through it and plan for the future, photography and video on our e-commerce stores has now become even more important. So Aidan shares his views and suggestions on improving on-site video and on-site photography. So here goes. Aidan, thanks for joining us. I was trying to figure out when we met first, and I think it was queuing for a coffee at a free meetup event in Dublin in the Financial Services Centre. Was it 2013 or 2014?
God, it's a long time. Yeah, it's about 20, I think it was late 2013, and you were kicking off your business and I was kicking off mine. So we were very much on the same path.
Yeah, who'd have thought? We thought we were going to get inspiration that evening, which you don't generally get at free events on social media marketing. I think we were both disappointed by the presenter. Anyway, that's life, and that's...
I think as well at the time, it just shows how marketing has changed online. There was a lot of businesses offering very straightforward strategies that no longer work. It's very honed in and specialized now. And when you look back on it, I'd say you'd laugh at the learning that you would get, yeah, the content.
Yeah, it's changing rapidly. It's funny because Twitter is still a fairly, it's still a popular platform. It still lasted, of course, along with Facebook. But yeah, look, I think these events are always good to go to. I learned a lot at that event, and I made sure that when we do our own events, I'll try and make them a bit better. So for me, it was actually quite beneficial. But anyway, that's how we met, and we've been in touch. We've worked on a few projects together. You're now running Video 3, which you started in 2014, and we'll get into that in a while. In terms of your focus on video specifically for e-commerce stores, and you're also very active within the jewellery vertical, and we can have a chat about that too. In terms of your own background, how did you get into video?
I was working in a digital marketing role with a company, with a couple of companies actually. And I then went to another company and I took on a video, it was a video marketing business. And it was really about securing contracts where you would go to a business, produce a big corporate video, deliver, and then good luck. I was there for a couple of months, and then I thought to myself, well, I have a marketing background, so I know how to work strategy with marketing. And then I knew that video was the big thing, the up-and-coming content strategy, the content marketing that really would work. So I went home and set up my own website on WordPress. Again, I'd love to look up the archive and see what it looked like.
Yeah, what's it called? The Internet Wayback Machine, isn't it?
The Wayback Machine. Yeah.
It's like looking through an old magazine.
Yeah.
At that particular time, was video production expensive? There was no cheap kind of subscription apps at that time to edit video. You would have had to pay a producer, would you?
Oh, it was very expensive. It was, up to €1,200 you might charge for a production. Of course, I went in rock bottom price and I made no money on it at the beginning to get some clients. But I went into one store, it was a retail store, I won't say who it was, but we made a beautiful video. But not only was it a fair price, a fairly high price for the client, but it was the use, the value that you get from it afterwards, how you apply it was, you know, it wasn't much compared to now. But the main advice that I had, and just on that, you know, what did I do when I started my business? It was a three-step marketing solution I had. And one was consultation, the second production, and the third distribution. I went in and differentiated myself in that way. But because many companies were investing in expensive videos, but they would land them maybe on the front page on their website, and that was it. So it was an expensive investment with feck-all payoff if you didn't know how to do that. And I, when I was working with a video marketing company, I could see that he was charging them over the odds and then just throwing a video at them with no strategy behind it. So that's what I went in and capitalized on.
So people would use the video once and then just maybe not really, once it left the homepage, it was just gone. Of course, now what you're talking about is slicing it and dicing it into small digestible chunks, aren't you, for social media, for YouTube or for LinkedIn?
Exactly. It went from one video to maybe three videos to, you know, and there were still high-end productions. There were interview videos, you know, so the storytelling evolved from there to smaller snippets to no speaking, just quality visuals and high visuals to all the way where we are now. And I think we all know now that for me, I don't need to go into a business to convince them the value of a good video strategy. Now it's what type of strategy do we work with? Because everybody is sold on the necessity for it. And now it is really about vlogging or about frequent video, short video. And that's really what it's about. I do term in my training, which we'll maybe talk about later. I do talk about maximum information and minimum time, you know, and that's really what it's about now, is identifying the shortest snippets and stuffing them with value, you know.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. It's so simple, you know. Even if you look at any decent Shopify store, you know, it's photography and video that stand out. And a lot of people don't, I suppose, firstly, people don't understand in the investment needed to actually get the store up and running properly. But in addition to that, then a lot of people try and save money on content. So like photography and video is always going to be the cornerstone of an e-commerce store. And yet I'd say only 10% of the people that we interact with for Shopify development actually get that and actually are prepared to invest in it. Is that still the case? You know, like it, obviously, you know, when you started out in 2014, it was expensive. And social media channels like Instagram, at that time, I think Instagram was only a 15-second video platform, and now it's extended. But at that time, you'd have an excuse to say, hold on a second, I'm not going to spend the thousands on this video if it's just going to sit on my homepage. Has it changed at all now with access to handsets and editing tools? Or, you know, is there still a decent investment required now, I suppose, you know, to shoot quality video?
Not in the same way, because an example like Shopify, where, again, I would have sold the idea that you need to have an effective front page to draw people in further and into shop. It's gone from that to what I would advise now, and that is bringing the shopping experience to life with short videos for your product pages. So turning it into like a video commerce experience, I suppose, because people are looking for the most in-life experience when shopping now. So if you can do anything that brings your products towards the customer in a way that they are in real life, then you should be doing it, in my view. And I think it starts with beautiful photography. I think there is a perception, all right, that great sites can be done, particularly in Shopify, because they're very visually rich, that, you know, without great photography that you can have a great site. I don't think that's true. And I think it's now extending to, and I would see it in a couple of years, that without video on your product page, you're not going to get the same conversion. And that's the way I would see it. videos need to back up great photography now. So I think video is definitely needed on the website, but in a much different way than it was in the past. And it's actually a great thing that companies now have the opportunity to create their own videos of, say, a product being made or a product in a spin video. Small videos, not high-end productions for each product, but something that draws the person in and keeps them on the page longer, because that's, you know, the longer they're on the page, the more likely they are to convert.
Yeah, that's a valid point. In terms of, you work with a lot of jewelers across the world. In the last 5 years, has video content changed, or is it just a very, very simple case of saying, look, you know, to sell a decent product, you have to have a decent Shopify store. And then to have a decent Shopify store, you have to have decent photography. And what you're saying now is that you, in addition to that, in the future, given the current crisis with COVID-19 and the reduced amount of people actually, you know, visiting stores face to face, you reckon that video is now also required to complement the photography that will indeed complement your product?
I think so. It depends on the product. I think, you know, I'll say that some products are better with photos than with rushing into producing product videos with them. You know, and that might come to maybe just say some clothing. If you have knitwear, you know, I think it's probably really well displayed on a professional video. Sorry, a professional photo in the open in the west of Ireland, which we've just done a shoot on a few months ago. I would really advise great photography in something like that. But then for jewellery, which I've done a lot of work on, and I was going into jewellers. Say I was out on the road actually about 5 years ago. I was shooting beautiful 360 product videos for diamond rings before anybody was doing it. And I was turned away in a lot of places. I was given the benefit of the doubt to actually go for it, and they'd let me into this room full of diamonds and I would shoot great videos. But again, there was no real knowledge on how to use them. Now they're in demand, they're everywhere. You look at Instagram for jewelers now and the videos are everywhere. The quality is another thing that, you know, it wouldn't match up to the quality that we were shooting even 5 years ago. Does it matter? Is video needed for jewellery? Absolutely. I think all jewellers will actually admit that now, and they'll say, you know, we're putting out a lot of videos because it's a sparkle brought to life. It's a really high-end, detailed product that is very difficult to communicate the value of in photo. So I think products that are selling on a, say, a Shopify site, if it's a product that's very hard to communicate the detail and value on a photo, absolutely, it needs to be on video to get the competitive advantage over the other. The quality for something like jewellery needs to be great, in my view.
So in your experience, is it connected to the average order value of the Shopify store? So are you saying that if you're going to be selling rings for over $500 up to $50,000, that it should be just a default to have decent product photography and video on your Shopify store? Would that be a good rule?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
So if you roll on then to 2020 and taking the current crisis out of it, are people getting it? Like when you look back at 2014 versus now, are people getting it, or are they getting it but they're doing it themselves?
It takes a lot of, with video, it's very interesting because it takes a lot of businesses, particularly now, to hold their hands up at some point and say, you know what, I can't really create good video on my own. I've seen, you know, Tommy out there do great video, and I heard he did it in-house, but I've tried it and I'm not doing it. And this comes down to simple product videos for jewellery. I see that a lot. That there is this perception that you can create your own videos if you have a great phone. But I would train businesses now into shooting their own videos.
But Aidan, isn't that the case with everything nowadays? Like, I mean, people can service their car, people can shave their own head. I mean, the amount of people that we deal with on a regular basis that they end the conversation by saying, sure, look, Shopify is so well marketed, it seems like it's really easy, we'll do it ourselves. So, you know, for everybody that does it themselves, there's probably an even bigger market for people that are actually willing to invest.
my view from the outside looking in, because I'm certainly not a photography or video expert, is that the rise of social media, specifically Instagram, seems to be driving a lot of, you know, when we talk about off-portal content, which isn't actually your site, it's across social media. It seems to me that the majority of influencers and the majority of video that's been placed on Instagram would be homemade. Would that be correct?
It would, and some of it is great that it looks authentic. Particularly, I do a lot of work with, let's say, members of the Craft Council and that, and I've run some workshops for them, and there's something beautiful about showing off the craft. There's nothing better than a homemade clip of somebody, you know, throwing some pottery on the wheel. That really works.
Let's take a short break, and I'll share the one app we install on every Shopify build. The team at Rewind.io have developed the leading backup solution for Shopify. Did you know there is no way of recovering lost data from a Shopify store? Rewind.io automatically backs up your store data. In the event of a data loss, usually due to human error, Rewind enables you to rewind your store back to its previous state. It's so simple and is used by some of the world's leading Shopify agencies, such as Kurt Elster of EtherCycle and Kelly Vaughan at The Tap Room. If your store is gaining traction, you may have multiple users making changes. Often store owners allow team or app developers enter a store to add code. Sometimes mistakes happen and data gets deleted. You can reduce your business risk today and prevent a costly catastrophe by installing the Rewind.io app on your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any of the welcome messages or emails you receive after you begin your 7-day trial and mention this podcast. Now, back to the interview. Yeah, agreed. I just read an article this morning in the Financial Times whereby you would think that car sales in the US would go down as a result of COVID-19. But as a result of COVID-19, there's another school of thought that is predicting that because people won't use public transport, they will buy cars and drive. But they can't go to a car dealer to buy a car at the moment. So there's an article there profiling a couple in the US that actually bought the car online. So you can be rest assured that the car companies have all of the best photography and video to incentivize the purchaser. Obviously, they're bigger companies, but it's the same. In principle, it's the same. Your point there is very valid about the quality of the video or the quality of the photography, but there's no point placing that into a site which is poorly structured or doesn't match the visual appeal. And your point about the Facebook pixel or any analytics tracking, that's because it's easier to take a video than it is to actually sit down or pay somebody to actually set everything up properly. So what most people do is they rush into the production and they put the video up and they count the number of times it's viewed, whereas in actual fact, they're probably better off spending their time setting it up properly, linking all of the channels together. Look, that's the world we live in, I guess.
I think as well, like that, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, video being snippets now and a series of videos, is that there's a lot of channels out there that there's like random videos put out, but they don't have this connection with each other. They don't have a series that builds a brand. Simple things like they don't have their branding on it, their logos, their brand identity. So there's a huge perception that you can put up your own video because of your phone, but they're just not hammering it home, you know, that they're putting in the hard work with video creation, but they're not hammering home the benefits. And actually, one thing that's interesting, I think myself and yourself worked on a client years ago at this point, and Shopify had, they were ahead of the game in that they had a functionality on their product page where you could embed a video as the main product image on the website product page, and they have it now still. But I mean, that's a beautiful solution, you know, to relay your video from your social media, but also to, so if you're advertising your products on social media, that product is then, that video is then on your product page, you know, so there's a continuity.
Yeah, absolutely. Aidan, you work with clients all over the world, is that right? Give us an example of a few of them.
Retailers in America have a big network that I work with there. It's a funny network that I got involved in originally from approaching design and craft and jewelry in Ireland. So I connected up with a lot of people there. Those makers supply, so I did work with them in Ireland. They're looking to develop their sales abroad in retailers abroad in America. A lot of the Celtic retailers and the Irish connected retailers in America. So I've done work with them as a result because of that network. I've been brought over to Secaucus to shoot and promote the event, which all the Irish makers head over to, such as companies like clothing makers, you know, a lot of great Irish makers out there, Hannah Hats, you know, Ireland's Eye, all the way to jewellery companies in Dublin, like, Brewery Jewellery. So there's loads that have been trekking over to America for years and years. And I went over then to boost those events because it is a time where they're looking to, you know, establish themselves again. And there is it's a challenging time for events, as you know, at the moment. So we went over and shot videos there. So I've worked with jewellers in the UK then as well for providing product videos. So it's a network now between America and England and Ireland. It's been really exciting.
That's good. And you've, in the last while, you've pivoted into training. Actually, and that was pre-COVID. I could see that a lot of people are obviously, you know, depending on your circumstances and depending on what your business or service is, you have to change as a result of COVID-19. But a few months back when the last time we met, I think we met at, was at the Showcase in Dublin in January, February, you had mentioned that you were moving into online video training. So just give us an insight into what that is.
Yeah, so it was, you know, this crisis has been actually a time for me to really rush myself to innovate what I was thinking about, to innovate it quicker. So I started off the video training mid last year, and I've been on the ground in events across the country. Again, I had a lot of contacts there that were, I went to revisit, and they jumped at the opportunity to come along, learn how to shoot and edit on their smartphone. And that is the training system. And the workshops are one day workshops, very interactive. You know, I've had great feedback. Companies have gone away and they're completely, the workshops really give them a whole new understanding of how to approach creating their own content before they pick up the phone. There's a mistake out there that people just pick up the phone and don't think differently. They'll copy other businesses that are shooting certain ways. And the need, like any coach, I guess, the need to just step back, look in and see what they're doing and then get advice on creating that right video that suits their business. So I do everything from video strategy right through to shooting, editing and distribution. And that's what they are taught. So back in January when we met, the online learning was in progress. I was putting together the workshop. And I had a great reputation on the ground, so it was only sensible to bring that online and also to keep continuing being on the ground with events. And I enjoy that, getting out. But now it's exclusively online. I've been running, you know, webinars, some free webinars. Others are paid courses. Huge demand on it. I've got a lot of connections that straight away they were on board. It's going great. It really is. You know, LinkedIn is a great channel for me to network on because there are so many businesses out there, particularly knowledge businesses, where, you know, they're looking to put themselves across in a more professional way. That's what I help them to do.
Aidan, do you have to have a room full of kit or do you have to be a camera expert to do that?
Not at all. You need to invest in, you know, small amount of equipment, if any. You know, get your mini tripod. Where I teach how to shoot good video is use what's given to you, in that I help businesses identify a good place to shoot, how to frame that video, how to use natural light. You know, in cases there where you get a room where it's good sound, so you don't need to use a microphone. And then how to shoot that in a way that gives you a smart editing process. And then also the editing, I mean, there's apps now on your phone. And that's what I encourage, is that you can shoot and edit on your phone, get a good process in place. There's apps there, which it's a minefield of apps, but I advise, and the best one, I run training on that. And they edit what they need to know to get their videos out in a timely, budget-friendly way, and it just works beautifully when you put a system in place.
Who are you primarily training? Is it amateur photographers that happen to work in a business, or is it digital content managers, marketing managers? Who's your audience?
So I've been working one-to-one with some mentors and business coaches that are, you know, looking to present themselves more professionally on video, more creatively. You know, there's retailers that are looking to create more frequent content. There's event companies who have, I think it's a great example, it's an event company where they have an event and they have a team of people who have been working to make that day successful. And those people are on the ground at the event. So we would train how to, you know, utilize their resources. And that is to get the team to shoot in a way that they're educated to shoot from my workshop. And then to hoover up all that content and repurpose it and, you know, elect one editor in the business. And I mean, you can put out beautiful content and frequent content and snippets versus the traditional view of hiring in a video production company and shooting one, two videos for the event. So not only am I, you know, training them how to shoot great video with their phone, but also to come up with new ideas and how to get creative.
But ultimately, you're saving the money in the long run.
Oh, I mean, it's great, you know, and I love the rewards of seeing a small business being able to, you know, get beyond that cost factor to be able to actually create their own nice content. And that's rewarding for me. I do love working with small businesses because they need to harness the most powerful content that's out there. And there is a perception still that they need to call somebody in to do that. And if I can change that from them thinking that they need to call somebody in to doing it themselves, that's a reward for me. You know, I love that.
Fair play, fair play. Before we go, what do you think is the future of video?
The future of video, I think, is creating a lot of content that actually brings a website to life through product pages. That, to me, is the future where you're bringing websites to life with an experience that replicates reality as much as possible and brings people to it. I mean, if you look at the likes of QVC, an example of a model that's been successful for years and years, and that is demoing products, you know, and that's another thing actually is maybe live demos of products on websites where people can actually connect live and purchase through a live demo maybe. So I think that's the future of video. I think it's huge. I think websites are going to be a core area. I think, in my view, social media is really going to become saturated so much with video and ads that only the best ones will win. And I think the main platforms that at the end of the day is going to pull in the revenue is a great website.
Yeah, with your own content.
With your own content that, you know, that Google loves to rank because the user experience is so beautiful.
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Listen, Aidan, thank you very much for your time. We will place your details in the show notes, videotree.ie. And in the meantime, I'll talk to you soon.
Good stuff. Thank you, Keith. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast. All of our episodes are available on Spotify and iTunes. We really appreciate the support of our sponsor, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free. Just respond to any of the welcome messages or emails after you begin your 7-day free trial and mention our podcast. Until the next time, take care.